Well, I'm glad we can all testify tonight that Jesus Christ, His grace is sufficient. Amen? No matter what we experience, go through, the world needs to know and our family needs to know that God's grace is sufficient no matter what the need in our lives is. We're turning your Bible to John chapter number 11 tonight. Lord, help us. We'd like to share with you a message entitled, When We're Disappointed with Jesus. When we're disappointed with Jesus. Disappointment simply means that you're sad or displeased. Listen carefully. The definition is you're sad or displeased because someone has failed to fulfill one of your hopes or expectations. You get your Webster dictionary out, and that's what you're going to find. Disappointment is you're sad, displeased because someone has failed to fulfill one's hope or expectation. Synonyms for this word is upset, cast down, downhearted, or depressed. So we find that we're going to look in the text tonight and see that there's two ladies here that are disappointed with Jesus. And we're going to ask God to help us tonight to be able to understand what to do when we are disappointed with Jesus. So let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we thank You again for this time to be together, Your divine grace and mercy. May You show Yourself strong and mighty as we try to lift You up that we might all be drawn closer to You. Encourage the saint and do Your will tonight. We love You. We thank You tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would stand just a moment for the reading of God's Word in John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We'll just go ahead and just read two verses tonight for sake of time, for we all are very familiar with the story of Lazarus. In chapter 11 of the St. John, verse number 21, we're going to see the first time one of these sisters has a statement that expresses her disappointment in Jesus. Verse 21, the Bible says this, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Would you not say that she was expecting Jesus to come in time to save him? Wasn't she? They had sent for him. Well, you see in verse number 32, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Be seated. Thank you. It is a very difficult thing to even acknowledge or admit there might be times in our lives where we are disappointed with Jesus. I was talking to a secretary that's working with me part-time. I say part-time. She's a volunteer part-time with our character education program. She's volunteered to help me some. And she told me, she said, Paul, I am struggling because I remember when my husband was going through cancer. And she said, we prayed and asked God to do so many things in his life. And she said, the bottom line is, in time, my husband died. And she said, after that time, she said, people would console me and I appreciate it. But she said, I had others around me in my circle. And it seemed like God did for them what He was not willing to do for us. Anybody ever been there, got the t-shirt? As they say, been there, done that. You've seen where God actually did for others what you prayed that God would do for you or someone close to you. And we find that this lady that I was talking to, she said it was a challenge to her. And so I tried to encourage her and strengthen her the best I could, well, having those experiences necessarily. But I realized that there is times in our lives where that we are in hopes and we are expecting God to do something, and it turns out that He doesn't do what we hoped He would or what we expected Him to do. In this story tonight, we're going to see three or four things that will strengthen and encourage us as we deal with it individually, as we deal with it collectively together in our families and as a church family, and as we strengthen our culture in dealing with disappointments, because disappointments are a part of life. Can I get a witness? Amen? I mean, in your family. Has anybody ever disappointed you? I mean, you expected them to do certain things. You hoped that they would do certain things. And lo and behold, they didn't. And it disappointed you. You were affected by that disappointment. And it doesn't matter in your marriage relationships. It doesn't matter with your children. I don't know about you, but my children ain't always done what I hoped they would. I'm going to say amen to the choir. Y'all ain't. They've not always done what I hoped they would or what I expected them to. My son got a girl pregnant in our church. Made me madder than I've ever been in my life. My son, Nathan. I wanted to do something to him that's just not even legal. Amen. Why? Because I expected him. I hoped that he would live by what he had been taught and care enough about his Father's name and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ's testimony that he wouldn't do something like that. But he did it anyhow. And I was hurt deeply. That God had to show me I was more hurt because of my own pride than I was because of the testimony of Jesus. Amen. And so I had to get my own heart right and realize that I could either push my son away and disown him, or I could love him and care for him. And this little girl that's with me tonight is a result of what took place. She's my little princess. And I could have disowned my son and not had a relationship with him because I was disappointed. You see, how you handle disappointments affects you and others. I know people that's out of church today because they got disappointed with the pastor, got disappointed with the church, got disappointed that God didn't do something or God allowed something to take place, and now they've been away from God, running from God, and their whole family's going to hell in a handbasket because they got disappointed. Well, I think they need to pull their britches legs up and they need to get a little bit humility about them and realize disappointment's a part of life. You ain't the only one, and you won't ever be the only one. It ain't the first time, and it won't be the last time. And I reckon there's probably been times Jesus been disappointed in me. Yeah. And so I want to challenge us and strengthen us in this reality of disappointment. Then let me give you four little points tonight. Number one, if you're writing out some things that you can help yourself with and others later, hopefully. Number one, disappointment is common to all men. Just buckle up and realize it. I have people sometimes come to me act like they the only one. You ever been through this? Ain't nobody ever been treated like me. Ain't nobody been done like me. Ain't nobody ever done. Hogwash. You ever slopped the hogs? I've slopped the hogs before. And I know when you say hogwash, I know what you're talking about. I want to tell you something. That's hogwash. I want to tell you, you ain't on the island to yourself, honey. I guarantee you, there's somebody else been through what you've been through. We've all been disappointed. Now, as Christians, there's been times we've all experienced disappointment with Jesus. We thought the Lord ought to do something, he didn't. Elijah was disappointed, first king. In fact, he was so disappointed, he requested to die. I could show you the stories, but you know them, and point out to you the areas of disappointment. But the bottom line, he came to the point, he said, I'd just soon die. David was disappointed in Psalms 42. In fact, he said, I am cast down. Check that word out in the dictionary. Jeremiah, I mean, he was so disappointed, he said, I'm on derision daily, I'm crying, and I ain't going to speak no more in his name. I know some folks have been disappointed that way, and they say, I ain't going to speak no more in his name. In other words, I'm not going to speak for him. I'm not going to walk with Jesus no more. He didn't do what I wanted him to do. Job cursed the day that he was born. Cursed the day he was born. Mary and Martha is showing us, said, Lord, if you'd have just been here, if you'd have just been here, our brother would not have died. Look in verse 2 of that chapter. Look in verse 2 of that chapter, number 11. The Bible says it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hairs, whose brother Lazarus was what? Sick. You see, these is common to all people. These, in other words, circumstances that bring disappointment, they're common to all people. This Mary loved her brother, and he was sick. Therefore, his sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is what? he is sick. All right, you look there in verse number six. It said, when he had heard, therefore, that he was, what's the next word? Sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, I thought he was sick. Doesn't it say it three times? The man's sick. Look there, if you would, in verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. He called him his friend, but he said, now, he was sick. And I want to tell you, sometimes sickness is sure enough wear on you, won't you? It'd be rough on you. I ain't making light of it, son. It's rough to be sick. Circumstances, we want God to heal us, and I believe God is the healing God. Don't get me wrong. But they sometimes he doesn't, and we react to what he does not do for us the way we want it done, or when we want it done. Mary and Martha's having to deal with this reality. Verse 14, verse 17, verse 14, then said Jesus unto them, Lazarus what? Oh, he was sick, but now he's dead. You see, these circumstances are real. Therefore, all of us experience circumstances that can cause us to be disappointed. Now, Roman numeral number 2. As we realize that it is common to all men, all women, that disappointment comes because of the circumstances in which we live. By the way, we don't live in a perfect world, do we? It's a sin-cursed world. And this old body, it dies outwardly, amen, day by day. But the inward man's renewed day by day. But this outward fella is going the wrong direction. But thank God, number 2, is when we are disappointed, you need to remember Jesus loves you. I realize that's real deep tonight. But I want to tell you, when you are disappointed in Jesus, that he didn't do what you hoped or expected him to do, you need to remember that he loves you with an everlasting, unconditional love. So it doesn't matter what your circumstances you are experiencing, going through, he loves you. It doesn't matter the timing in which you are going through that experience. He loves you. Unconditionally and eternal love, God loves you. You need to remember this when you're experiencing disappointment. Remember love. Look in verse 3, if you would, again. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest. She's acknowledging, she's reminding the Lord, listen, the man that you love is sick. Aren't you glad that he loves you when you're sick? It may not feel like it, but thank God he loves you. Remember Jesus' love no matter what the circumstances is. In verse number 5 again. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus loved all three of them. Friend, I want to tell you, it's not only you isolated by yourself. Jesus loved Lazarus, but I want to tell you, Jesus loved Mary and Martha too. And I want to tell you what you're going through in your life. Jesus loves you, but he loves your wife, he loves your son, he loves your grandson, he loves your neighbor. He loves them too. When you're experiencing those disappointments, remember, Jesus loves you. Roman numeral number 3. Not only do we remember it's common to all, this disappointment, and we see their circumstances all throughout these verses. We remember his love because he said that whom thou lovest, Lazarus, and that he loved all three of them, but also we remember he's got it. We remember that he's got it. I call this the sovereignty of God. Remember he's got it. By the way, has everything occurred to God before? Has he ever had to been informed about anything? He knows it altogether, amen. Now sometimes I'm praying, I'm acting like God don't know. Like I need to remind him. No, he knows everything and what's going on. And we got to remember that he's got it. Now, let's look at how he presents this reality of his sovereignty and that he's got it in this text. Look in verse 6. Verse 6. Now it says, and when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 more days. And that, to me, I'm like, do you really got this? kind of want God to do something now? Don't wait two more days. He's showing who He is here. He said right here, well, He heard therefore He was sick, and abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that, saith unto His disciples, let us go into Judea again. He's still taking His sweet time. His disciples said unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? They said, why in the world you want to go back there? They want to kill you. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things He said, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, sometimes he has to do that for us, amen. He said plainly, Lazarus is dead. I want to tell you, sometimes in the circumstances of life, we wonder if he's got this. It seems like he's being delayed. It seems like he's taking his own sweet time. And you know what? The bottom line is, he may be taking his own sweet time. The bottom line is, he may be delaying, but the whole time he's got it. He hadn't dropped it. By the way, does he forsake his own? I don't believe God forsakes his own, no matter what circumstances they are experiencing and going through. Is God always aware of what his own are going through, experiencing? Every minute detail he is aware of, isn't he? And so with the sovereignty of God revealed in how he carries himself and as he moves from place to place, and as he is not upset about what's going on. You know why? Because he's got it. You ever been terribly upset about something and it just seems like, wait, listen, he's not. You belong to him. You'll always belong to him. And he said, he that begun a work in you will complete it. Amen. And he's not going to stop. God's got you. He's got it. Amen. Remember, he's got it. Number four tonight, as we look in this text, we not only, when we're disappointed, Jesus fails to meet our expectation or hope, and we know it's coming. We know He loves us. We know that He's got it in His sovereignty. But we also remember the why. We want to look at the why in the text tonight. The why in the text tonight can strengthen us and enable us. Look in verse number 4. Again, when Jesus heard that, He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the what? It is for the glory of God. This sickness is not unto death. In other words, that's not what it's all about. And I want to encourage you tonight that what you're going through as a family, what you're going through as a Christian, I want to tell you, it is not what it seems, but I guarantee you, as a child of God, it is designed and orchestrated by a sovereign God for the glory of God. As you go through it, somebody looks and says, I just don't understand how they can handle that. Well, let me tell you how we can handle this. Our God is an awesome God. And as we sing, His grace is sufficient for me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. I want to tell you, it's a time for you to brag and magnify the glory of our Heavenly Father. You see, the why, when you're disappointed, remember the why. Notice not only that particular verse 4, but drop down to verse 15. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Lord, have mercy. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. Notice what he goes on to say. He said, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may what? Believe. You know, there's many things in our Christian experience that are orchestrated and designed, allowed by God, however you want to word it, to suit you. But the purpose is not only to glorify God, it's so that others might see and believe. You see, if our God is not good enough for our day-to-day life and circumstances, how can we expect Him or the world to believe that He's good enough for theirs? Amen. They need to see that, yes, things don't always go. I don't know about you, but since I've been saved, everything ain't went just the way I thought it would. Amen. Come on, stay with me. And so we find that those circumstances, but He said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake that you might believe. Go on if you would with me. Verse number 25, the Bible says this, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he says, hey, believest thou this? Do you believe this? You see, in the midst of all this, it wasn't about Lazarus. It wasn't about Mary and Martha. It was a testimony. It was the glorified God and the challenged people to believe that Jesus is exactly who He says He is. Are you willing to let your life glorify Jesus and help others to believe that Jesus is who He says He is? Amen. Verse number 26. Now look in verse 40. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of who? The glory of God. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of this, the people which stand by, I said, that they may what? Believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him, and let him what? Let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Mary and Martha was disappointed. They had asked Jesus to come and heal their brother. They said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But you see, the why was for the glory of God and that others might believe. So this could strengthen us and encourage us as we think about the times that we're disappointed with Jesus. When He doesn't meet our expectations and our hopes, the things that we wish He would do, our hope that He would do, we prayed about Him doing. But we know it's coming. We know He loves us. We know that He's got it. We remember the why. My last little point, number 5. We know how the story ends. Amen. Again in verse 25, we know how the story ends. Notice what it said. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He said to everybody, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he what? Yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never what? Die. Believest thou this? Verse 43 again. Verse 43 says, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I don't know, but I just believe the eastern sky is going to bust one of these days. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. I believe the trumpet of God is going to sound. Amen. The dead is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to ever be with the Lord. I've read the back of the book. Hallelujah. I know how the story ends. The enemy may raise. Circumstances may seem to overwhelm me at times. But there's a reality in my life. I know how it ends. So my friend, tonight is I want to encourage you, when you are disappointed with Jesus, when your family's struggling with disappointments, because it saddens me when people walk away from God. It saddens me when they things just doesn't work out the way they think they ought to or they desired them to, and they hope that He would do certain things. And I've knocked on many doors in 32 years and heard all kind of stories. How somebody disappointed them, Jesus disappointed them, circumstances. I want to tell you, Jesus' love is way too great and too wonderful. When we're experiencing disappointment, please remember it's common to all. As the pianist comes, please remember it's common to all. Remember that Jesus loves you no matter what circumstance you are in. Unconditional love, eternal love. Remember, He loves you. Remember, He's got it. By the way, is it all right if He's got it and you don't? Amen. I'm glad He's got it. Remember, He does. And remember the why. For the glory of God and others might believe. And remember, you know how the story ends. We're just headed home. So when we're disappointed, remember these things in this little story. Let's stand together and ask the Lord to help us tonight. If you're experiencing this or someone in your family and you need to pray for them, you want to pray for them, you come to the altar and do that. Grab somebody, let them pray with you for it. There's many in our culture, in the Christian culture, that are away from God because of things that's happened. They need to be encouraged. Let's pray together. Father, take Your words now, accomplish Your will in our hearts. We pray that as we as individuals be honest with You and know, Lord, there's things in our lives, our families, Lord's disappointments that we are challenged with, that we would bring them to You. Lord, allow us to love on You and You love on us. Lord, take these words and accomplish Your will. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.